旅の途中立ち止まりそうな時深いため息こぼす僕らは掴みかけてはまた離れていた。でも今はもう何も溢れることはない。心をつなぐ強い絆を決してほどけはしないさ。探し続けてたどり着いたこの場所でピリオドに。
All right, everyone, welcome to Nerds on the Rocks. This is now episode 8. My name is Michael, a.k.a. Magus113. I will be your host once again. And I'm here with a couple of guests. We have the infamous Earl, or a.k.a. Brackabone on Game Tavern. Earl, say what's up.
Wait, why am I infamous?
I don't... Well, you know, because that just blows up your fucking ego. I don't care. Whatever.
If you want to drop my ego, you say awesome, extraordinary, superb, one of a kind.
But he's saving all those verbs. He's saving all those words for me. So
there we go.
You as well.
Right. So
he knows your name.
Earl, shut your mouth. Okay. Let's add to the little description here all the nice little adjectives and verbs that Earl said to Chad Fleming, aka Uber Paddler on Game Tavern. Chad, say what's up.
What up?
Yeah, that's what I like. And we also have an extra special guest today. We have John, who is the contributing editor at DualShockers.com. He does not have a Game Tavern account, but you can get him on Steam and on PSN at Hitman0769. John, it's good to have you with us. Hey, what's up?
Hey, what's up, guys? How you doing?
You can also not get him on Xbox Live. He has an account, just no Xbox to use it on.
Yeah, I'm a poor boy. And I'm working on it.
That's cool. We can roll with it. All right, so we have some interesting stuff that we can that we could talk about today. First off, we have a general anime discussion, mostly fueled by the recent ending of the ever-so-awesome Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood that ended...
Don't say that.
Oh, why not?
I forget that it's over, and you keep reminding me.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. It's very dear to Chad and my hearts, but all good things must come to an end. Anyway... the general anime discussion, our question of the week, and we will have our cocktail chatter segment as usual. So, all right, let's get right on it. Anime, what's good? What's bad? What have you seen? What do you recommend? And let's throw a little Full Metal Alchemist discussion as much as it pains us to talk about. Chad, give it a start. Go for it.
Well, no discussion can start without mentioning, of course, Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood, which I almost didn't watch it because I had seen the original Full Metal Alchemist, mm-hmm. and I don't know, I thought it was pretty good, and then I heard they were coming out with this new one, which was supposed to be more true to what the manga had in it, and I thought, okay, that's cool, I might check it out, and I watched the first couple episodes, and it was almost exactly like the series had been. So I was like, I don't know. I mean, there's so many things out there to watch. Do I really want to watch this again? And I found, I mean, once you get 5-10 episodes into it, it's almost totally different.
Yeah, I...
Would you say a similar experience? Or?
I did like Fullmetal Alchemist, the original series. I actually own the movie, and it's... I actually enjoyed it a lot more than I did... the second half of the series, it got really convoluted because of the way they handled the whole deal with the homunculus, with the homunculi, excuse me.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I mean,
I was just gonna say, at the time, I thought it was pretty good, but seeing how they've resolved it now, like, it's infinitely better.
Well, that's the thing. Like, you have to. I think what the main issue was that they started out so early. In the manga, and then they caught up to it, and they were like, okay, well, where do we go now? And that's when things just all kind of went awry. But it was a commendable effort. Definitely, you know, good when I first watched it. But this just took me for a loop. I'm already doing pre-orders for all the Blu-rays that are coming out, for not to watch the English dub, but to actually own it. That's how much I enjoyed it. I don't own very much anime that I don't like, you know.
So are you both in agreement that you preferred Brotherhood over the original?
Oh, fuck yes.
Oh, easily.
I wish he was here, but Default actually prefers the original, and he was going to make it. So hopefully you folks get that discussion at some point. Now, what is wrong with the English version? Because I think you and Take Shiny Step have both mentioned to me not to watch that version at all.
Well, considering how bad the... Well, you've seen a few episodes in the original Japanese, correct?
Yes, I've seen, I think, up to like episode 8.
Okay. Have you seen the show dubbed in English?
No, not yet.
I've been warned
not to.
Okay, exactly. If you ever do, like, Take Giant Steps and I watched one of our favorite episodes from the series, the one when Lust finally gets killed off by Roy Mustang, and some of it was
greatest scene in the show.
That and definitely it's definitely on par with the him going nuts in like the mid 50s range when they were underneath the central headquarters. But anyway, there was a lot that they did okay with the voice acting in that episode, but then you know you see where all of its weak points are. And it's just consistently bad. It's never had like really really good episodes, really really good dubs. That's the problem that I have with watching anime in English. Like, there's very few shows that are dubbed that I really enjoy. The only dubs that I've seen that I like are Cowboy Bebop. The Ghost in the Shell dubs are always really good. The Samurai Champloo ones weren't too bad. Ava. I'm watching Last Exile now, which that's actually pretty good. They put a lot of work into that one though, so I'm not surprised. What's up?
Then I have to ask: how did you first find anime? Was it with subs, or did you see dubbed versions of shows and someone told you, "Oh, this is better if you watch it in the subbed version"?
I had pretty strict parents, so they were very demanding about like curfew and stuff with me and like getting to bed early and all that. So I wouldn't be up to watch like Adult Swim when they would usually show these like huge blocks of anime until I would say around high school, you know? I mean, if anything, like my first intro to anime that I didn't know was anime was the Pokemon series. And I mean, I knew about like Card Captors and stuff, which is bastardized from the original Card Captor Sakura from Japan, but
Action Bastard. That's a good one.
What? I'm sorry?
Action Bastard. That's a good anime, but I'm sorry to interject there. But yeah.
No, it's cool. Don't worry about it.
So did you not watch Toonami after school? Because I know Toonami used to have like Sailor Moon. It had the original. It had Dragon Ball Z. It was like a 12 block from like 4 to 6 that used to show anime.
I've seen Toonami. I just didn't like any of the shows that they had on it. Because it was before or after Dragon Ball Z and Sailor Moon. Sailor Moon, which I hate the most. Then it was like the other shows, like the New Adventures of Johnny Quest and all that.
I actually like Sailor Moon. It has a really catchy theme song.
All I have to say is you fucking would. I'm not going to get into why. I'm just going to say you would.
I don't know. I always enjoyed it, though it was one of those ones I would never admit to anyone else or myself that I actually enjoyed. But
well, you just admitted it to the internet.
She was fighting evil by moonlight and winning out by daylight. I mean, how can you go wrong with such a deep and carefully plotted show? But honestly, it was because this was back when I was in junior high, and like, I don't know if you folks had this, but anime used to come on at insanely early hours of the day. Like, I believe Sailor Moon used to come on at 5:30 in the morning or 6. It used to be, it was Rome Warriors, it was Sailor Moon, and it was the original Pokemon series. And these used to come on all before 7, and I used to wake up for school, you know, I have a bunch of siblings or whatever, so we'd get up and you know, you want to watch a cartoon to get you ready and stuff, so I used to watch that. And I think I like Sailor Moon because it was kind of easy to follow in that, you know, you can kind of watch one episode each day. And, you know, you had the stuff, the Mega Queen or the whatever, you know, the Evil Queen, Witch or whatever she was. But you could, you know, watch an episode and you just kind of are satisfied, as opposed to something like Dragon Ball Z, where it's like, you know, you're watching an episode that's a continuation of the episode you missed yesterday, and it continues tomorrow, which you might not see. And as a kid, I hated serial shows. They're just hard to follow, because, and you don't always, you know, like sometimes you might have to stay after school a bit, you hang out with your friends for a bit, so, you know, you couldn't watch them all the time. Mm-hmm. And you folks can interject at any time. I feel like I'm hogging the conversation.
No, it's fine.
No, you're talking about having friends in school, so I can't talk about this.
And Dragon Ball Z is one of the reasons I always say as to why I don't like anime. And
well, that's a perfectly good show to dislike. We're talking about a show that wasn't even part of like the, it was just only a part of the entire like Dragon Ball story, and it was like 200 something episodes.
Yes, it
was. About 150 of which were unnecessary. So yeah, that
I don't know if any of you are paying attention to it lately, but they've been releasing a new series that kind of cuts out all the filler and really streamlines it. And it's
still gonna be like 100 episodes long.
I was actually watching that. I've actually been watching that. It comes on at 8 o'clock on Nicktoons, and it comes on a perfect time for me to eat dinner. I'm like, you know what? Maybe they finally got rid of all the fat I hated, because my original thing with Dragon Ball Z, the reason I started to hate it was during the Frieza saga. Like, there's maybe half an hour that goes on between that whole, from when Goku lands on the planet until when Frieza blows up the planet. There's maybe half an hour that passes, and it goes on for something like 4 weeks. Like, there's a part of the fight where he plants the thing into the planet, and the planet's gonna be up in 5 minutes. And I swear, it went for 10 episodes. And at that point, as a kid, I'm just getting frustrated. I'm like, when is this fight going to be over? When is this fight going to be over? I kept on tuning in and tuning in and tuning in, and it wasn't over. It wasn't over. And then I just gave up. I stopped watching it. And I never went back to anime. I watch anime, but I really avoid them because I don't want something like that again.
Getting back to the original question that you had asked about how we got into it, I would have to say that my biggest thing of getting into anime was probably in high school. I hung out with a lot of people that they had a very big interest in anime and manga and stuff. So that was definitely where I got most of my anime watching done, because there was a lot more stuff that I was interested in. I don't find that's much of the case now. There's a few things that I see that are new, you know, that they jump out at me and say, oh, hey, you know, maybe I should watch this. 'Cause honestly, the last thing I saw before, Full Metal Alchemist was probably Death Note, and that wasn't that wasn't very long. So okay. I have to say high school is my big thing with that.
Okay, I want to touch on Death Note because that was one I actually watched and enjoyed, but I wanted to mention something else. I don't know if any of you went through this in high school, but did any of you have friends who always discussed power levels of Dragon Ball Z?
Yes.
Because, you know, like Vegeta and that other Saiyan comes to the planet, they have those energy readers, and I think that those are the last people who actually have like actual energy readers that gives a numerical value.
They're called scouters, dude. Get it right.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Scouters. And I don't think they're ever used again in the series, so my friends would spend lunchtime pretty much dissecting, like, okay, you know, like, Goku's actually a 12,000 in this episode, but once he merges with so-and-so, he becomes like a 48. And it used to piss me off. One, I didn't know what the hell they were talking about. And two, I just thought it was the worst conversation to have in school. And they used to do this every day for 4 years.
John, how did you start getting any involvement in the anime scene?
Well, I actually got lucky. I stumbled upon it. I mean, I have a problem with sleeping. I always have. And I'm just staying up late at night. And whenever I didn't happen to crank on my Xbox One or my PS2 or my GameCube, I would just like catch the Adult Swim, and I started off with, I think, I want to say Well, it's hard to put a finger on exactly which one was the first one that really got me synced in. I know I used to watch Pokemon, and it was alright, but I watched Dragon Ball. I never really liked it. But Fooly Cooly, FLCL, and Trigun.
Oh, hell yes.
Those just took me in, and I was like, oh, especially Trigun. That one, the Vash the Stampede, oh my god. I watched a couple episodes of that, and then I was just hooked. And then I started discovering, like, Cowboy Bebop. And Adult Swim basically just saved my ass. Otherwise, I would have never known.
Is it bad that I still have yet to see Trigun?
I'm gonna go with terrible because it's fucking awesome, and I've been hearing from everybody that you want to see these things in Japanese, but to be honest, Trigun was in English from when I saw it, and it really didn't bother me.
I think I've heard mixed opinions about it because I know that there are people that say that they don't catch the like the character, like the kind of intonation, the kind of quirkiness that the original Japanese actors add to the character.
Yeah, and I feel like Vash is like a much better character when he has his original voice, just because a lot of the stuff that's there, the intonation and the expressiveness, isn't there in the dub.
I don't know Japanese, so for me, I could see how that might be possible, but I saw a lot of fucking quirkiness in those guys. I mean,
well, that's also because from what I've seen, Vash is just an interesting, quirky character in general. You know, that's not. I mean, they're gonna try it, but I mean, they're obviously not gonna get it anywhere near to how it was supposed to be. You know, it's hard because that's
lost in translation.
Yeah, it's lost in translation. You're not the person who they wrote the character for. You know, you're someone else that's trying to imitate that. I have seen certain episodes, and I have seen them in Japanese because when I did start watching anime, you know, it was back with Kazaa and all these things that you would try and find the episodes online, and they were all DVD Morphe. Rips with Japanese subs, you know?
iMesh.
Yeah, iMesh, all that bullshit. And,
I mean, I don't know. What are those?
I'm trying to think of the other stuff that they would have on Adult Swim all the time that, you know, really got me into anime, even though I never really watched it. I know
they
that...
kept putting stuff on and then dropping it, so it's hard to remember.
Yeah, like I know with FLCL, because FLCL is only like six episodes, and I know that they would play it like three times repeatedly, and then they would just stop airing it for a while.
Yeah, that was beautiful. I gotta say, that one, that show, and then kind of like video games do this too sometimes, they kind of like left some of the story to your imagination, and I love that.
Because
I can think of some trippy stuff to go with it, like, you know, they leave it a little open-ended.
I've seen it a lot of times to be able to try and make some sense out of everything that's going on, but I still don't think I've got it right. But that is some of the fun stuff. I mean, it's short. You can watch it as many times as you want, and the story will make as little or as much sense as you want it to. It's open to, like, you know, it's open to your interpretation, which is great.
Exactly. I love that part of it.
Also, I know it's coming to Blu-ray, and they're using the really good sync point dub, so that makes me so fucking excited.
Are you serious?
If I recall correctly, yes, they're going to bring it to the Blu-ray.
FLCL on Blu-ray. Oh, my God. That's a reason for celebration.
I actually haven't seen it yet. And when I heard the Blu-ray was coming out, I said, well, hell, I'll just wait for that.
Yeah. Chad, what about you and your anime adventures? What do you got? Like, how did you get started?
Well, like everyone else, I watched the Pokemon and the Dragon Ball and the Sailor Moon and whatnot. And not knowing what it was at the time, I was like, okay, hey, this is on the Cartoon Channel, and it's pretty rad, so I'll just watch it, whatever. I was in, like, grade 6 or whatever at the time. And then kind of never really got into it until a few years ago, first year in university, actually. And I had a friend in the dorm who was watching Cowboy Bebop. He had the DVD set. And was watching them in one of the lounges. So I was like, okay, I'll sit down and watch this for a while. It was pretty good. So I asked him for some recommendations, and he said, okay, you should probably try out Death Note. And so I went to my nearest nefarious file-sharing client, and I was like, okay, I'll search for this. And there was, like, the subtitled version and the dubbed version, and the subtitled version had more cedars. So I was like, all right, I'll get this one because it will go faster.
So dirty cedars.
Because that was my only worry at the time. I was like, okay, I won't want whichever one. I'm going to get the fastest. So I was like, okay. So I watched that.
Dial-up.
And then I got more and more into it. And I guess the one after that was probably Bleach. And that one I started watching in English. And then it just became, okay, I can sit here and wait for the more English ones to come out, or I can start watching it in Japanese, which is like 100 episodes ahead of where I'm at now. So I just started kind of defaulting to that. And then as I watched more, I started to notice the difference between the subs and the dubs and how I felt one was vastly superior to the other. So then I just kind of started watching the subs. And there was this one site called MyAnimeList.com. Or .net or something, .something anyway.
It's still around.
And it's got this really cool feature where on every page it will say, okay, here's some stuff that's like this. So if you like this, chances are you'll like these. And just through that, I found more and more and more and more. And I've got like 20 episodes sitting on my hard drive that I haven't watched yet. Or 20 series, rather.
There you go. All right, cool. So,
I just remembered another thing that Adult Swim had. You guys might remember this Big O. You guys ever catch that?
I never caught it, but I sure as hell have heard of it.
I actually have that. I've been meaning to watch that for a while. And I will admit, I got sold on the show because people said the main character is like Bruce Wayne or Batman. And it was influenced by Batman the Animated Series. So once I heard that, my ears like perked up and, you know. So I have those two seasons to watch.
I would say he's a bit more conflicted than Batman, though, because he's not, like, totally sure if he wants to be a good dude yet. And also, everybody has no memories in the whole town, so that kind of throws a whole wrench in it.
All right. Well, we're probably going to close up for this segment, but before we do, I'm gonna give my recommendations. I know I had mentioned some of the stuff before, like the Bebop and, you know, all my other favorites. Some things I might have not mentioned, The Melancholy of Haruhi Suzumiya. That's a great show, and it's 13 episodes. It's very interesting. It's not interesting as in, like, weird. It's interesting as in funny, and it's got a certain kind of character to it. So I recommend The Melancholy of Haruhi Suzumiya. We've mentioned Death Note. I'll definitely recommend that as well if you're a fan of a very well-written story. And for just another, and some movies. Let me throw some movies. Ghost in the Shell is great. The series based the series, you know, that are, you know, kind of based around the movie are also good as well. And just recently watched Summer Wars. And Earl needs to fucking watch that movie. He hasn't done it yet, so do it.
Did you watch Wonder Woman?
No, I haven't even downloaded it yet.
Okay, then. So,
So those are my recommendations. Chad, anything you want to throw in there?
Yeah. I guess the first one that really jumps to mind is Black Lagoon, because it's not one you hear a ton about, but it's definitely one of my favorites. It's, I mean, it's about pirates, but like modern day pirates, not like One Piece style pirates. And it's just about the kind of shenanigans that they get up to. And by shenanigans, I mean shooting people in the face. Like, it's definitely not a lighthearted kind of comedic show. It's really serious. It's got a serious overtone. So that's really good.
Yeah.
What else? Lucky Star is something that a lot of people, I think, would write off because of the art style of it. It looks really cutesy and girly and whatnot. But it's also damn hilarious.
Yeah, it's very, from what I've heard, it's got a lot of tongue-in-cheek humor.
Yeah, it's not super serious. There's nothing award-winning about the story or anything, but it's just fun. It's fun to just sit down and watch a couple episodes and smile. And there's something to be said for that, I think.
Okay, cool. Any movies, by the way, that I might have missed?
Movies. You know, I don't watch a ton of movies.
Nothing is
coming to mind.
Well, let me just drop another quick thing or two. Hayao Miyazaki, he makes a lot of the movies that Disney takes and dubs into English. I'll definitely recommend Princess Mononoke and Howl's Moving Castle. Those are some movies that I enjoyed.
Yeah, he's got a game coming out, eh?
Yes, Ni No Kuni 4, one for the PS3, which looks phenomenal, and another and Ni No Kuni for the DS as well. Both, yeah, which I believe were announced. Yes, both which I believe were announced for North American release. So there you go, John. Any
out here?
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
John, any recommendations? Go for it, dude.
Yeah, I'm gonna go with the comedy real quick because that's all I can remember at the moment. It's just like my mind's trying to locate all these animes, but I'm a little rusty on my anime, I gotta admit. I'm gonna throw in a couple American animes. Aqua Teen Hunger Force is probably the most well known on the Adult Swim channel, but if you haven't heard of it, where the hell have you been? And you gotta check out C-Lab 2021 if you like that type of stuff, because C-Lab 2021 is like even more funny in my opinion.
C-Lab is great.
And if you can, maybe crack a couple beers if you're over 21 or something like that. It might enhance it a little bit. I'm just saying. And for the Japanese end, Action Bastard is just hilarious. And obviously, if you haven't seen Trigun, kill yourself.
Cool. All right. Well, then I guess I'm not hosting the rest of the show. Earl, I don't think Earl's allowed to make any recommendations, but I already know what he's going to say. He's probably going to say Hajime no Ippo because that's what he likes. And apparently Sailor Moon because he's
spell
girl.
Some of these or something like.
Yeah, I think we should do this. I'm a huge Power Ranger fan, so I have a huge thing for anything with mechs. So like Gundam, Voltron,
Gundam. Depends on the Gundam, though, because not all of them are good. But Mobile Suit Gundam is definitely a good one to start. I heard Gundam Seed is also very good as well.
So. And of course, the Big O, because he has a mech as well. So, yes, the Big O. Gurren Gundam, Voltron, all mech-based. Like I said, I'm a huge fan of mechs and anything that transforms, except for Transformers, oddly enough.
And if you want to get really crazy, go check out Mighty Max. You might have no idea what that is, but you'll be glad that I told you.
That's cool. That's what we get. That's what we're taking recommendations for. What's up?
You brought back my lust for anime. I haven't plugged in my cable box since November 2009 when Modern Warfare 2 came out.
Who the fuck watches anime on cable? Nobody.
Wait, who figured out cable boxes? What I want to know.
Anyway.
Readers out there, listeners out there.
Okay.
Don't steal anime. It's not nice to your fellow anime creators.
Okay.
Whatever. Yeah, so you can borrow it and then buy it.
All right, moving on to our question of the week. An interesting question, I would imagine. Has downloadable content expanded far beyond the reaches of the original attempt for Oblivion Horse Armor? John, let's go with you first. Why not?
What exactly are we getting at here? I mean,
how do you think like DLC has gotten like big?
Come far from where it started.
Yeah, using the horse armor as an example. Well, actually, give a little history on the horse armor, if you will.
Okay, well, the horse armor is something that I never got to be a part of because I was on the PS3 version of Oblivion. So you might have to enlighten me on that, but all I know is that we missed out on a lot of the DLC for Oblivion on the PS3. They only brought over practically nothing, which is Shivering Isles and then the Knights of the Nine. But if you're saying DLC in the industry as a whole,
well, that's what we're trying to get into. I mean, it's obviously become a big part of the market. You know, that a lot of people try and make sure that they can get more playtime, get more of their money's worth from a game by extending the more to, like, adding more to the game, whether it's through multiplayer, little extra costumes and whatnot.
Yeah, you know what? I'm gonna go ahead and say fuck DLC because I'm starting to get sick of it. All my favorite games have new maps when I have no money. And when the games first shipped, I was like a little disappointed with the amount of maps. And you guys know a lot of developers make the DLC while they're making a game. And yeah, I understand like some of the games might flop, so it's like not always extra profit. But like with Modern Warfare 2, I just feel like I got totally burned that they want me to pay $30 for these fucking maps. And with Oblivion, I could see that expanding the game. I think it depends on the game. I mean, but with, like, if you take a look at Resident Evil 5, I picked up all their DLCs, except the stupid costumes, because that's just not what I do. But, I mean, then and now for PlayStation Move, they won't expect me to buy Resident Evil 5 Gold, and then it's like, dude, I just bought your DLC. What do you think I am, a cash cow? Like,
I thought that it was the alternate version, or is the alternate version gold in America? Because if the alternate version isn't gold in America, then I got duped out of my $50.
The alternate version's gold in America, but apparently you might still have to buy another version of the game to get Move support.
Oh, okay.
Right. You have to buy the actual RE5 gold to get PlayStation Move.
Well, I do have it. That's why I was like curious. Okay,
well then you're good. You're good. But see, for people who bought Resident Evil 5 when it came out, and the question is, what do we think about DLC? How far has it come? I'm getting fucking pissed, personally. Mm-hmm. I don't know about you guys, but I mean, I liked DLC when they were first starting it off, and this generation was kicking it off. I was like, cool. I can extend my gameplay, you know? And I got Resident Evil 5, and I got Versus, and I was like, this is awesome. I really wanted to shoot, you know, I've been having fun with my partner. But we got, like, so tight. I got platinum in 10 days on that game. Mm-hmm. And it was not easy. It was brutal. Me and my partner are yelling at each other. Oh, fuck you. You got to stay close, man. We got to heal you. In good professional mode. And then it's like, dude, I just want to shoot you in the head so bad. And then the Versus came out, and we got to do that to each other. And now they want me to buy a disc that already has Versus. And I'm like, And then Modern Warfare, I told you, I think that's a ripoff. So... And then I'm looking at Mag, Killzone, Uncharted. I mean, Killzone, I picked up the maps. I mean, I picked up some maps in good faith for certain games. But then Resistance 2, Uncharted 2, Modern Warfare 2, I'm sick of it, dude, personally.
Well, what's wrong? Hey, wait. What's wrong with the Uncharted 2 DLC wasn't that bad because it was reasonably, like, maybe not the extra character skins or, like, the... Well, maybe like okay. The ones from the first Uncharted, but not the Sony characters ones. But I mean, for one of the maps in the first DLC pack were really good. I liked them a lot. Like, and there was also the siege mode, I believe it was, that they added to co-op. So they added a little bit more functionality to it. And it's
not that bad a price. I mean, it's what, $6? I mean, 12. I mean, I think part of DLC is dependent on the price.
Right.
Like Modern Warfare 2, for example, is that it's $30 to get, I think, 10 additional maps, but four of them are maps in the original Modern Warfare.
Yeah.
So you're, in essence, paying $5 per map just for maps. I was going to say it reminds me of another thing. But the other problem I have is with achievements and trophies. It's like when you do, like I did it with Borderlands and, you know, I think that's the only game I can, it's like you get you perfect the game, you get all the achievements, and then they raise DLC, and then it adds a bunch of achievements that you may or may not want, and it's like you kind of are forced to buy the game again, or like buy stuff for it if you want to be one of those achievement completists, or like, what was it? Borderlands had three DLC. I think they were $10 a pop. So that's an additional $30. But I don't want the second DLC they released. I think the Thunderdome of Mad Moxie or whatever. But to me, it's like I have all these achievements in the game except for this one in Mad Moxie.
I had that problem in Uncharted 2, that the only trophies I was missing were the ones for the treasures in the single player campaign, and then the multiplayer DLC comes out and there's a shit ton that they had already added. And I mean, I was pretty confident, but then after that I was just like, well, you know, fuck this. They're all multiplayer related, and while I love the multiplayer, that doesn't necessarily mean I'm extremely good at it. So there is that issue. I will agree with you though. I will agree with you about the issue on price, however, because especially with Modern Warfare 2 is like the biggest offender, because they know that they're gonna have people that are gonna be stupid enough to buy those packs for that much money. It's absolutely ridiculous. Like there's no excuse for that.
Modern Warfare 2 is expensive, but I think the biggest offender to me personally is probably Halo 3. Mostly because of the way they used the DLC kind of to, like, you know, there were maps you can only get for a while if you bought Halo Wars. Mm-hmm. And then after, like, having everybody pay for 3 map packs, they're like, oh, we're going to have all these maps on ODST and then some other ones. So if you want all of them, you have to buy this game. And what they do is after they release maps, they wait a bit, and then it's like they start limiting the payers you can pay when you don't have all the maps. So at some point, me and my friend could only pay, I think it was Social Sayer and Team Doubles, because we didn't have, like, I had one map pack, and then he had, like, the third map pack. So there were, like, places we couldn't do because we didn't have all the map packs, or we didn't have co-storage. Yeah. And it kind of forces it. And if, you know, if you're, like, a diehard player, it kind of forces you to pay it. Because it limits the players you can actually enjoy and play with. So that's why I think it's the biggest ripoff. I mean, I don't know enough about Modern Warfare 2. I don't know if you need the maps to play online. I assume you can still do most of this stuff.
You can still roll with it. They're all right with that. But it's like a big red warning, and everybody in your party is like, oh, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Once you join... But
yeah,
there
are certain lobbies.
Great job with that.
Yeah, like there's separated lobbies now, I think, for people that, like, when, at least I haven't played since the Resurgence pack came out, but when the Stimulus pack came out, there were two separate lobbies for people that had the Stimulus package or not. And the whole time while
that's
you were
what
in
they
the,
need to do.
Yeah, the whole time while you were in the regular lobbies, it would be like, oh, you should go out here and buy the Stimulus package. You can get more stuff, and it wouldn't go away until the match was about to start. Mm-hmm. So they're like rubbing it into your face. They're like, you can't do this. Buy it. No, sorry.
Yep, that's right. Shameless plugs. I mean, Warhawk, I think, did a great job, but they have dedicated servers. They like eased it in.
Mm-hmm.
But,
well, wait,
I mean,
Warhawk was dedicated?
Oh, yeah.
I thought
Warhawk
that they had people running
is.
Their own servers out of places.
They can, but they actually have a shitload of Sony servers.
Okay.
And but, dude, see, if you go back in time a little bit, and we're mostly talking about shooters, am I right?
If I would
imagine.
If you
go back in time on PC, dude, DLC was basically free for a long time. Like, I want to say, like, 5 or 10 years. When shooters was really taking off. Yeah, dude, you never paused maps.
You still, I mean, like, Valve is pretty good at giving free updates for TF2 and...
Right. Bad Company comes with free maps, too, but I'm just saying, like...
I think part of it is that Microsoft started to force the... Because, I mean, that's part of the problem with, like, Team Fortress 2 and the Xbox, is that... Microsoft kind of forced them to say, you know, you need enough content to warrant... putting this out, and then after a while, it's like, you know, it's too far gone. I mean, it's been like 2.5 years since the game came out, and I think at this point, every cast has gotten an update and new maps on the PC version while we're still stuck with the game that came out in 2000.
Yeah. Well, they just need to make it happen, man. They can't let Microsoft boss them around if it's coming down to that.
Microsoft is the boss. It's their network. They have final say. You can't say, oh, we're not going to listen to Microsoft. Because Microsoft also has an approval process.
They listen to money, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, you. But that's
well, then they can. Like, they can do that. They do say, "No, Microsoft, I want to put this out for free." And they say, "If you don't let us put it out on your service, we're going to put it out exclusively on PSN, and they're going to sell more copies of their stuff for them." And that's how it's going to work. And then Microsoft's going to cave.
Is there free DLC on the PSN?
Of course, there's some, but it depends on the game. Like he was just, like Chad was just sharing with us, it really depends on the game. I mean, Little Big Planet, take a look at Little Big Planet, dude. I know they have some rip-off DLC, but they also have free levels out the ass. And yeah, we make them, but
yeah, that's what they say, but that's user-generated content. That would be really, really difficult
all right,
to charge
all for. Right. Well,
now,
you know what?
A
I'm interested.
Free DLC come out for Record of Agorist War because I've downloaded it. I've definitely seen tons of free DLC on PSN.
But I mean, I'm not going to say there's free DLC on the Xbox as well. Like, there was a free update for when Left 4 Dead got the survival mode. That was free. There's free
updates. That was free. Wow.
Yeah.
But they just needed. I mean, sometimes it just seems like it should be free. I mean, mag maps. Come on. There's not that many maps in the game, dude. Just give me the friggin' maps. I'm not buying them. And
I don't know. I feel like complaining about DLC has gotten real old lately.
Yeah.
Like,
we're such a group of entitled people as gamers. Like, easily the biggest group of people who feel the most entitled that I've ever seen. It's like, we want more stuff, and we want you to give it to us for free, and if you don't, we're going to complain about it.
Well, you know what it is, dude. I mean, they spend this time making this game and hyping it up, and then they go, oh, by the way, but it's only got 9 maps. They wait till the last second to tell us that. It's not like we've known for all these years it's only going to have 9 maps. They're making it sound like it's just, oh, it's going to be the most expansive, revolutionary. They use all crazy words like that, and obviously we're going to expect a lot, and then we pay $60, and then it's not all that half the time. Like, mag, I love it, but come on, it's not all that. I mean,
one thing that I actually think is it could be that I think it's a little bit more beneficial to the industry that I would definitely say has stemmed from DLC or just downloadable games. PlayStation Network and like the PSN games and XBLA. Lots of good things have come, like lots of good games have come from that. And it's cool because, you see a lot of really good, relatively cheap indie games or games from indie developers come out that, maybe people won't it's an easy way for people that want to get their names out as a developer in the game world and not have to make too much of an investment, you know?
That's beautiful, dude.
Games like Fat Princess, games like Flower, which I enjoyed a lot.
Revival of Worms.
And the other cool thing that the PSN I think is doing a pretty cool job of that. I know that Xbox also has like their own, classic Xbox games that you can download now, but the PS1 classics are pretty cool for people that you know, either never played something for the PlayStation or had it way back when, lost the games, they can't play it anymore because it's too expensive. Like, I saw, like, the biggest thing that I saw on there recently was that Grandia for the PlayStation was $10 as a PS1 classic, and if you wanted to go out and buy a disc, like a physical copy of it, in good, almost new condition, you would have to pay $150. Yeah, it's, I mean, and this is for more like, I guess that's the kind of stuff that appeals more to, you know, RPG, to like RPG nerds. Like, that was the way I used to be in the PlayStation era, because there were so many. Like, there were just so many available, and a lot of them were really good. It was like it was almost like an RPG, Japanese RPG heyday.
I think you know, even goes further back, because I remember my friend freshman year of college was looking for a copy of Chrono Trigger or Super Mario RPG on the Super Nintendo, and you can go on eBay and those games itself are $100-$150.
Yeah, well, that's if you want like a box and all that. Because when I was in my sophomore or junior year of high school, I bought a copy of Chrono Trigger that was like in decent shape, but just a cartridge for like $30, which is still kind of expensive for a kid that's in high school and for something that's not even in its original packaging and is used, you know.
Probably like 60 by now, but yeah. You know what would be interesting is those Final Fantasy stages that were supposedly cut from 13, mm-hmm. is that going to come out as DLC? Because then I think people are going to be really pissed. Because, dude, here you got a game.
Well, why would people be pissed? It's stuff you're never going to get anyway, so either you don't get it or you pay and get it.
Yeah, that's the problem.
There's always stuff in the development process that's going to get cut because of time, because of resources, because of all of that. So no matter what, you're never going to see that content.
I think that's the problem that has popped up in this generation is that, I kind of agree with Chad that gamers feel entitled to certain stuff. I'm assuming they cut the things for a reason. Either they couldn't have it done in time and it worked properly, or, you know, it just didn't fit the feel of the game. But on the same hand, I hate when a developer comes out with saying day of release DLC. It means that you had stuff that you just withheld so people can download it, or like the people who force you to buy the game day one or you'll miss out on this. I know it was pretty minor, but I think Gears of War did that with the flashback maps, where like if you got the first week or so, you could get the maps for free and like the golden answer.
Mm-hmm. With a pre-order.
Well, I think as long as
the Golden Lancer was pre-ordered, the flashback maps came with a little slip of paper inside it, and that was just if you bought the game new, you got the maps, and if you didn't, you had to pay for them, which I'm fine with.
It's okay if you buy it new. What about people that they wanted to wait a little while, maybe go to pick one up pre-owned, and then get like a discount or something at a GameStop?
Well, it's the developer's way of guaranteeing that they at least get some kind of income from that instead of
from a monetary standpoint. I understand that completely. But that's a different story.
Some of these games don't need the extra monetary standpoint, though. I mean, like, look at Modern Warfare 2. Come on, they really didn't need.
I don't think there's ever.
So you're saying that because they're a high-selling product, they are less deserving of the revenue they deserve than a product that doesn't sell as much?
No, I wouldn't blame on the sales. I would say because they've been using the same game engine since 2005, and we're just getting fucked and buying it over and over again. And it's just, come on, dude. How hard is it to sit there and make maps? I've done it before on the Unreal Tournament editor on my computer.
I have no idea. So I can't.
Well, I mean,
can't comment on that. But I mean, I think we vote with our dollar a lot too. I mean, the horse armor came out, and that was by Bethesda, and it was absolute garbage. It was total horseshit, and we called them out on it. And then, so we went from Bethesda being probably one of the worst examples of DLC to today. I mean, they're arguably the best example of how to do DLC with what they've done with Fallout 3. I mean, consistently releasing big, very substantial add-ons.
But what about the bugs, dude? What about bugs?
That's Bethesda, man. They're buggy all the time.
The thing about bugs is that's stuff that's usually fixed with small patches that you don't have to pay for.
I don't think it was, man. I mean, not in my experience on this. Mm-hmm. Maybe on the Game of the Year edition, but I still have yet to get it because I got all the DLC, so why would I fucking buy that?
Okay. Sounds good.
You guys all have amazing points, though.
As a model for what they're trying to do, it's a great example to be setting, is all I'm saying. Whether the actual expansions worked or not is questionable, but I think the goal there was decent.
You're right. I mean, it's definitely more satisfying to pick up a whole bunch of little experiences than five maps, but.
Okay.
What was the price on most of those add-ons anyway? Do you guys know off the top of your heads?
For what add-ons?
The Fallout 3. $10, $15?
But you can get, well, I guess if you already have the Game of the Year, but I mean, if you don't, you have like the Fallout 3 Game of the Year edition. And
I'm just talking for reference to compare them to, say, like the Call of Duty map packs.
Those DLCs were somewhere around 8 or 10.
Okay, so you look at that compared to what, 15 for Modern Warfare?
Bethesda did an amazing job.
It comes down to a value proposition of, I mean, how much it's worth to you. If you think $8 for a substantial single-player chunk is good for you and you're happy with that, then it's clearly a better value than the map packs. But if you're someone who sits down and plays Modern Warfare 2 constantly, and you're like, you know what, I've been playing this game, I love it, I would love some new maps, and I'm perfectly happy to buy your new maps. Because, say you're not into that game, you think the DLC is garbage, you don't want to pay for maps, don't pay for maps. Are you really any worse off? You don't like the Borderlands DLC? Okay, you don't buy it, and then you don't have to worry about it.
What if you do like the game, but you don't want to... I understand, but let's say you... again, like the Halo example, where you want to continue playing, but as more and more DLC comes out, they make it harder and harder for you to get into a game or to find a decent players to play on. Do you feel that the person should be obligated to get the DLC because they want to continue playing the game?
I think if you want to continue playing the game that badly, if you're into it such that you want to play it that frequently, then this is probably a non-issue because you probably pick up the maps right away anyway. I mean, that's a pretty blanket statement and in no way applies to everybody, but generally speaking, I'd say that's probably how it goes.
Train bumpers, my fancy. I'm just a boogie delivering eye candy. Slow through the muck with a clutch on a trident. Never give a fuck how far pie. You ain't dealing with a reborn icicle age poltergeist. Buff rocks, I walk cypher, stuck at the bus stop. Wookie foot must not sleep under the invaders. No batteries, no double cables. Wired under rangers, play box cut a face slate. Rock cutter, makeshift spirit. To y'all, I'm just a funny moniker with a couple of fresh records and a banging hand slider. But the jookies will they guess with. Walk for that. Metal train grab brainiac. Walk for them. Not a limelight. More the blusher lizard. And when the multi-billion tin men sound traditional rituals out the hearts of stars. Straight up red, they can see the city bleeding from the satellite. Formed by the corporate war drums recorded poorly. Dirty dub band, bruised by the hues of wicked palace. Chewed by the tooth of the dragons.
Alright, moving on to cocktail chatter. We all have some interesting stories, I'm sure. So, alright, we had Chad start before. We had John start this other segment. Earl, let's go with you.
Yay for me. Okay, mine is pretty simple. I'm sure most of you have heard by now. Marvel has booted Edward Norton from the Avengers movie. So we're due for our third Hulk or Bruce Banner in 10 years.
Someone want to explain that to me? Because this is the first I hear of it.
Is it really?
I heard he just wouldn't play nice with all the other actors.
Oh,
well, that's not what I heard. I heard that he's been known to do that, and they didn't really want that issue. As far as, like, you know, Avengers is a big ensemble cast. You have, like, Robert Downey Jr. as Iron Man. You have Chris Evans as Captain America and stuff like that. And from what I'm hearing is that Edward Norton was a kind of a pain to work with on the Hulk set because he would rewrite scenes and dialogue and stuff to his liking, which I don't see a problem with. I know there's a lot of
people. To be fair, when you're Edward Norton, you can do that.
Yeah, it's like, you know, he's an actor. If he wants to enhance his performance, I don't see a problem with that. But their issue, and I guess their thinking, is that this huge ensemble cast, you don't want him doing that and pissing off other people, where it becomes a problem for those around him. So, there was some hearsay. I mean, there's been a lot of bitter words between the two parties. Like, well, not Edward Norton, but like his agent and Marvel Studios. And so basically he's off and they're trying to find a replacement, which would make the third Hulk in 10 years, as I said. And they want to go with like an unknown right now. I mean, these are all your rumors. The two names I'm hearing is David Tennant, which I don't know if any of you watch was the most, not
Doctor
the current,
Who?
Most, yeah, but the most recent Doctor Who before Matt Smith mm-hmm. and some other dude named Mark Ruffalo, who
Mark
I do
Ruffalo.
Not know. Yes.
I know the name. I don't remember anything he was in, but I know who you're talking about. Anyway, keep going.
I don't know, but yeah. And those are the two main rumored picks, because actually what's going to happen is that they're announcing the Avengers cast. I think it's next week during Comic-Con.
Mm-hmm.
And they're just trying to like throw somebody in that role right away. So it's going to be a really short process.
Okay. All right, cool.
So I could be the next Hulk, possibly.
Yeah, you could.
But at this rate, if you hold your cards strong enough, you might be the Hulk in the next movie after this, because they're going to replace him as well as they reboot the franchise.
Nice job, Edward Norton. You fucked up.
All right.
Stop rewriting your stuff, man.
Okay, John, go for it, man. What do you got? Anything interesting for us?
Well, I do have a little tidbit. I got the Final Fantasy creator working on the last story for the Wii, which kind of comes out of nowhere for me. I don't know how that happened, but he said that him and his team put 120% in there, and then this might be his last one. I don't know if that means he's going to die making it or if he's just going to, like, retire and kick back.
But I have poured my heart and soul into this game. It is my ultimate game. I have nothing to live for. Goodbye, seppuku. Exactly.
So either way, I'm thinking day one purchase. Even though I don't have a Wii, my sister has a Wii. I'm going to buy it. I'm going to steal it. It's going down.
Sounds good.
I think this might be his last game in the fact that his most recent games haven't been selling that hot.
Look at his track record. He has Blue Dragon on the 360.
360.
He had Lost Odyssey, which I liked. I like it. It was very traditional, and I can understand why people didn't like it because of that, but it had a great, fantastic story. I don't know any of you guys that have played it, but the story was fantastic. Very, very emotional, very easy, very interesting that you could actually relate to it, considering the setting. There was the Blue Dragons a couple of the Blue Dragon games for the DS. And yeah, now there's the last story, which apparently they've been doing a lot of work on. And now that I finally saw a gameplay trailer, it looks really good. So maybe this might be the point where he says, yeah, you know, I've exhausted my creativity. I can't do anything better than this. So I'm just going to have to stop before people get these higher expectations of me.
Or he could just be hyping up his game. I mean, come on. Could be called pulling the Kojima. This is my last Metal Gear, except for these five. But, I mean, you know what? I'm just going to go ahead and say the obvious. I'm just going to tell like it is. The Final Fantasy rabid fan base is going to beg him to do more Final Fantasies, whether it's a new game or the remakes that supposedly they're going to do and they're not going to do. I know that sounds stupid and crazy, but that's just what's going to happen, dude. Watch. I mean, people are going to be, like, rioting for it.
What was the last Final Fantasy he's worked on?
Sakaguchi.
What was it? Because I know he hasn't been with Square for a while, so what was the last Final Fantasy he worked on?
I'm looking through it right now. I would believe that is 10. And 10, he was the executive producer. And just the executive producer. Final Fantasy IX... Final Fantasy IX, he was the producer and he wrote the original concept of the game, so.
Oh, and he's also responsible for the Spirits Within?
Yes, he was. He was executive producer.
That's the movie, by the way.
One day they fired him.
Oh, that was harsh.
I kind of liked it too, well, not gonna lie.
I'm not saying if it's a hike or not, I think. I'm just saying it kind of bankrupted that company.
Well, it bankrupted Square Pictures, if anything. But,
well,
yeah.
It bankrupted the whole company. That's why they got Enix to bail them out.
Oh, yeah. I didn't know it was the whole company. But even then, I think Enix was like, oh, hey, we don't want to do business with these retards that put out just utter crap and probably have no money. So I think they were like kind of trudging along very slowly after that.
If you got Square Enix's output since then, it's really been like Final Fantasy, and
it's not satisfying the fans. Regardless, I like them, but the fans are gonna like, dude. I'm telling you, when this guy's done with this game, there's gonna be like cars getting flipped over in Japan and LA, and they're gonna be like Final Fantasy.
I don't think that's going to be the case, because actually I think the bigger of the two big JRPG franchises in Japan is Dragon Quest.
Yeah, it is.
Quest has a much bigger fan base in Japan than it does here. Like,
so maybe in New York it'll happen, but
hey, we do not ride in New York. Do we get Philadelphia?
Ooh.
Uh-huh.
Ouch, bro.
Ouch. Alright,
well then maybe it's just me. Maybe it's just gonna be me yelling Final Fantasy. I'm gonna dig him up from his grave if he dies making this.
We'll see what happens after we try out the last story. If the last story is the really good one, then maybe I'll be all up in arms about it.
It's actually metaphor for his career.
Okay. Here's my interesting little cocktail chatter. I don't know if you guys have been keeping up with news about Activision, but their newest, they just recently hired a publishing CEO, at Activision. And check this out. He's actually Kevin Butler of the PlayStation commercials fame's father.
Oh,
wow. The Big Butler. Wow.
Yeah, the Big Butler. Eric Hirschberg is responsible for giving birth to Kevin Butler, Sony's fake pitch man.
A.K.A. Mr. Awesome.
Yeah, Mr. Awesome, and then now apparently the Marcus Rivers commercials. I only saw the intro one that they showed at E3 and the one for Metal Gear Solid Peace Walker with the guy that was sitting at the bus stop.
You haven't seen the one for Mod Nation Race Set? No, is it Mod Nation?
No.
It's the one where he's... The one where he's
yeah,
like,
it is. It's
oh,
the one with Duke's girlfriend.
Yeah.
I think you're right about the one at the Sony them all, conference. So I'll check those out. But anyway.
You guys see him at the Sony conference?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That was just epic.
I don't know. I don't like him as much as I like Kevin Butler.
Yeah.
He's too much of a cliche.
Kevin Butler's got some swag. You know, he's like, yeah. I mean,
I think I'm old and I don't give a fuck.
I'm just going to exist to you and I don't give a shit if you're going to listen to me or not.
I think that's the difference. Well, I think Kevin Butler has like that. He has like that old man charm where he's, you know, he's an old dude trying to be cool, and it kind of comes off as dorky and adoring, with his other kids just trying to come off as being cool. Like, what's this catchphrase? Game up, PSP.
Yeah, exactly. I mean,
it feels kind of disingenuous to me.
The only things that I laughed at, like in the two commercials I've seen, was when he's like, he points the thing at the screen. He's like, "These games are the business." I don't know why I found that funny, but when he did that, I kind of chuckled. And then there was the other one. He's like, "You know, I kind of want to be like you, you know, except for the whole looking like a slob and not having a job kind of deal." That's yeah. I don't find him very funny other than that, but I haven't seen all the rest of the.
I don't really know what else they can advertise on the PSP. It's a nice effort, but at this point, I really don't think the PSP is going to take off in America.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it is, because Persona 3 Portable is going to sell billions of that system.
How much has Persona 3 or Persona 4 sold on the PS3?
I don't know. It's not important.
Anyway.
Uh-huh.
It's awesome. That's all that matters. Buy it.
The only way that PSPs are going to sell is if they start giving them away free with DSs.
Whoa, low blow. Yeah, but then what are all those little girls going to do with it?
Oof.
Ouch.
Damn.
Maybe it'll go.
I'm going to get the 3DS. I'm getting the 3DS day one regardless, but when it comes to the regular DS, I got no mercy. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Well, that's good because the PSP has no games, so it's even.
There we go. Sounds good. Anyway, Chad, what do you have for us? You got anything interesting?
Well, speaking of Sony press conference with the Marcus kid, Apple is also holding a press conference to discuss their whole, we put out a busted phone and now we want to talk to you about it.
let's talk about the bullshit
soft episode of Afternoon Special.
So for the people out there that aren't aware of what's going on. The iPhone 4, which looks to be awesome, even though we in Canada won't get it for like another 2 weeks, there's an issue where there's a little millimeter of space down at the bottom corner where if you touch it there, it screws over the antenna and your signal drops, which apparently if you're on AT&T happens all the time anyway. I don't know, but I hear they absolutely suck.
It wasn't that bad. I used to have an iPhone and it wasn't that bad, but I mean it did have its bad bad spots.
I mean, name a network that doesn't though.
I don't
drop calls.
I moved to Sprint now because I'm on a family plan with my parents because it's cheap. And I mean, my room is practically a dead zone, which is a little bit frustrating for me. But I kind of have like a little.
That's a personal issue.
Yeah, apparently. But that's just a personal issue. That's my room, but I'm getting signal. And I'm getting signal.
That's insane. All the networks suck. I'm just saying. I'm calling it like it is. Hey.
They all have their little quirks. Like I know Verizon. Like Verizon has really bad customer service issues. That I know for a fact.
Your phone doesn't work?
I've never had an issue with Verizon, but I'm also not one of those people who gets drunk and smashes my phone. So I only deal with them when I upgrade. I just had to have my phone replaced because the touchscreen stopped working. And I got it within like 4 days, and that was that. I mean, it took me 2 months to send them back the original, but they took it off my bill after I did. So
Nice.
Well, I've had horrible experience with them. I got an internet service from them, and they really did not want to take it back. But that's just a whole other story.
Which was it, the Fios or just regular like Verizon internet or something?
It was some bootleg wireless internet where they were trying to charge me like per megabyte, like $20,000 a megabyte. Yeah, it was great.
Yeah. Anyway,
that'd be competitive, right?
But going 20,000 a megabyte seems pretty steep. But anyway, that's a little bit too much of an overstatement. But anyway, going back to
better enjoy your pawn short.
Yeah. Going back to the Apple thing. The big thing that just happened recently was that a Consumer Reports, which actually you know, believe it or not, a lot of people actually like to base their purchases based on what they tell people. They tested the iPhone in their own like special facilities or whatever where there's no interference and whatnot, and they did notice that there was signal attenuation when you would cover this area of the phone, which while the situation can yes be remedied if you buy a case or whatnot for your phone, there are people that one don't want to buy a case for the phone because they don't feel that they should have to spend more money on a phone that for most people or some people could have cost them $600 to own. And there's, yeah, exactly. So they feel that Apple should provide for them, or the people just don't like using their phone with an iPhone with a case because it's a nice phone. I used to not use my my iPhone 3G with a case. I mean, because most cases were kind of cumbersome, and I mean, it was just a nice looking phone. And I also had an issue where one of them would like scratch the back of the casing. But anyway, that's another story. So now, yeah, the thing is, Apple's getting a lot of bad PR from this. There were issues where Steve Jobs was sending snarky emails to people that
was debunked. That was not him.
Supposedly, Boy Genius Report checked it and they looked at the headers and they tracked them and they were probably real. Cause now, but then you get into the argument of headers on an email can be faked. But why would the Boy Genius Report go to some extent to essentially lie to a bunch of people? So, I mean, whether it was true or not, I mean, that's still, not everyone knows that that might have been debunked, so that's still bad press on their part. There was also the Apple making another press release saying that that the issue could be fixed with software because there was something wrong with the algorithm that the phone was using to show how much signal you had.
That just made them look like they don't know what they're talking about now.
Exactly.
Bullshit.
Yeah.
It's hardware, it's software. I don't know.
Exactly. And now apparently I follow Engadget, and Engadget said that they have issued the iOS 4.1, which has these said fixes, and the changes are a little noticeable, where they have like two iPhone 4s like side by side, and you could see that there was a difference in the signal that was noted. And
but I heard that was just about this. That I heard they were saying, well, you didn't have the bars in the first place, so the software was lying to you.
Exactly.
It's not actually fixing anything. It's just telling you you're fucked, like straight up.
Exactly. So, and even then, like, even when they said, oh, this is a software fix, there were a bunch of engineers that were like, look, no, you get signal attenuation when you hold this phone a certain way. But now there's also the people, I know some people here that, like down here that have the iPhone 4 that they never had that issue before they got a case. So the only thing that I can imagine is that it probably here's the thing, I live in Miami, and Miami's a very, very, a very, very humid place. It's not dry as like a city like Las Vegas, for example, where in Las Vegas, if you're not used to being there all the time, you go there to visit and you touch a metallic surface and everything's dry and, you know, automatically you have static electricity. So something like that could definitely short the antenna out when you hold it that way. If you live in an environment that looks that, you know, has those kinds of living situations.
Okay. Good point.
So there's a bunch of people that are like, oh, you know, yes, it works. No, it doesn't work. You're getting both sides of the coin, but the issue still remains that this is a big problem, and Apple's too proud of a company.
It's not that big a problem.
Well, I think it's more a bigger problem for Apple because this has just been a PR nightmare.
That's the problem. You're right.
Exactly. And
just
now
the way the public is viewing Apple right now is not favorably.
Exactly.
No,
What's up?
No, I was hearing people say that they could have just like raised the case that makes you cover it so you don't touch that point.
That it, yes. But now the problem is, like I had said before, that there are people that they don't want to spend the money for this case. They don't want to use said case. They would like they like. There's a class action lawsuit against Apple about
really? So if Apple that's sent everybody like a free, like how Nintendo sent everybody those free condoms to the Wiimote when it kept on breaking people's TVs because apparently nobody understands keep your wrist strap on, don't throw it at a TV.
They can just. I mean, and I don't always use the. I don't always use the condoms because I have them in a little charging dock. But I mean, how
you
stupid
go raw dog?
Yeah, baby. Like how. Like how the how.
Oh yeah, this is an explicit podcast.
Woo! I always take that condom off when I play before I charge it up and get ready for another round.
You dirty, dirty Wiimote.
Exactly. So but I mean, how fucking stupid do you have to be? I'm sorry.
I said you mess around with your Wii without putting the condom on.
Pretty much. All right. Cool.
Hope you're ready to raise. Hope you're ready to raise all those Wii Motion Pluses.
All right.
Get born.
And we're stopping that. But how retarded do you have to be to realize that you shouldn't throw something at a fucking like at least what now 32 inch TVs are like a couple hundred dollars? No, don't bad, very bad.
Yeah,
well they don't
see,
do it on purpose. It's totally accidental. No.
Well,
I think the point is the lawsuit was very uncalled for. I agree with that.
On the
well, common sense tells you that you shouldn't be able to sue for that, but the law doesn't rely on common sense a lot of times.
Yeah,
you have to assume that people have common sense, and you can find most of the time that's not true. We have a lot of stupid people. Let's put it that way.
This all goes back to the discussion of should we sue McDonald's for making coffee too hot? You know, that it all ends up back there. That you could sue for anything.
As far as Apple's situation goes, mm-hmm. I think one of the things they need to do at this press conference on Friday, I guess it is they need to issue everybody these bumpers for free. Like, if you bought an iPhone, we'll send you a free bumper.
Yeah,
I mean, regardless of whether you want to use it or not, at least it's kind of a step in the right direction for them, I think. I mean,
and
I don't know.
I think it would be cheaper to recall an iPhone, right?
It would be better than having to do a product recall.
Yeah. I don't think they will do a recall.
No, that's the thing.
Instead, they'll say, okay, if you don't like this, if you have a problem with the way this is, send it in yourself and we'll refund your money. That way they get rid of all the people that are pissed off at them. The people who have a problem with it can get rid of it. That essentially gives them no excuse for a lawsuit anymore because if you want your money back, you can have it back.
The issue with that is they tell these people, okay, you can send your phone in to get, you know, a replacement or whatever, but you have a shortage of the phones. So how long is it going to take for them to get enough phones to cover the amount?
I was just saying like a refund.
Oh, well,
I don't think a replacement at this point is going to do anything. I mean,
right.
I think it's too late to change anything as far as the antenna or the internals of it go. Like, they're pretty much
called
stuck
quality
with this,
assurance.
They
fucked up.
But by saying, okay, send it in and we'll refund your money, no problem, is just kind of it's a way to appease people and shield yourself from the inevitable lawsuit.
Do you guys ever notice that if you flip an iPod Touch sideways, you lose a lot of Wi-Fi? I don't see anybody complaining about that. You just hold it the right way. Nobody's getting
really?
Any recalls or bumpers on that. Yeah. Yeah, that's right. If you hold it sideways, you lose your whole connection half the time.
I understand that it's a problem, and no, you should never lose coverage based on where or how you hold your phone, but we're talking about a single millimeter here. Just don't hold it that way. Like, it goes kind of back to the common sense thing. Like, yeah, it's a problem, and yeah, you shouldn't have to deal with it. But it's there, and it's not that big an inconvenience to just not hold your phone like that. So
as one of the 10%, one person in the 10% of people that are left-handed, I find your statement offensive, so you can go fuck yourself. No, I'm kidding.
Whoa.
Okay.
That's
you know what? I've been, like, dealing with the iPod's little tendencies, and this just sounds like Apple's getting worse with their little, you have to do this, and you have to do that. It's like, dude, You're the one releasing the phone. Okay, but I don't have to hold my PlayStation Portable fucking diagonally to get on my Wi-Fi and play. I don't understand, like, what's
Wait,
the heart of it?
Play on your PlayStation Portable? Whatever.
That's right.
In this mystical end where it has games.
Well, that's aside.
To be fair, he probably picked up Peace Walker, and you know he had to kind of brush the dust off of it, and then what? Pull out what? Like Dissidia or whatever the fuck last game he was probably playing.
Hell no!
Can't say anything.
Resistance Retribution. But
oh yeah, there is that. See, that's where my memory is for PSP games.
Well, I mean, it's a good thing he has it though. He gets a good use. He gets to use Skype.
But I'm saying, like, if I flip it upside down right now, okay, like, Halo, it's upside down. I'm still podcasting. Uh-huh. I got my finger all over the thing.
I don't even know what's happening.
Oh,
well, in that case,
John, you sound like all garbles. I can't.
It sounds like you're in a microwave.
Oh, jeez.
Well, in that case, I want 500 PlayStation Portables with bumpers.
I don't even think they make that many a month. So
I don't know. It's a shame. Because when Persona 3 Portable came out, it's probably the first time I've played my PSP in like 6 months, and I realized it's a really nice system. Like, as a handheld, it's really good. It feels solid. It's comfortable to use. I mean, it doesn't have a second analog stick.
Okay. All right, guys. Well, it seems like we've run our course for discussion today, but we've been talking for quite some time, but it's all been great discussion, and I would like to I'd like to thank John for helping us out and being a guest. We hope to get you back on the show again. Yeah.
Oh yeah, thanks guys. It was great.
No, it's no trouble at all. It's been great to have you. So once again, Michael, aka Magus113 on GameTavern.net. Hopefully we'll be having the music up for the podcast up on the forums for you to go and check it out if you're interested, along with any possible additional material that we decide to throw up. So from me to the internet, I will sign off and say have a good one.
Have a good one.
Peace.